It is good to be with you this morning. I've been looking forward to coming back and worshiping with you here at Keysville. A lot of fond memories coming over here this morning. My wife and I were reminiscing a little bit. It's almost been a year, and a lot has happened. But it's just wonderful to see God still working in your lives. And there's a faithful group that is worshiping here every Sunday. May God bless you. It's been an inspiration to be here. What a wonderful thing to sing about a risen Lord. That just cheers our hearts, no matter what you faced this past week, no matter what the discouragement, you probably left it behind for a little bit, and you left your spirit be caught up in the joy of a risen Lord. And that is the blessing of gathering together, where we can, you know, during the week, we're all by ourselves. We experience a lot of joy with the story of our Sunday school, the risen Lord. But you know, there was just a lot of an emotional journey that was happening right then. There were people, Mary was in tears. She was just distraught. She wasn't jubilant. Peter had no idea what was going on. And he got word that, you know, the tomb's empty, and you know the story, he just took off. He had to see it for himself, and then it's empty. Where's the Lord? Somehow I see it as a picture of my life, where, you know, one day things are up, and the next day things are, we're just not sure what's happening. So this morning I want to preach a very practical, very simple sermon. One that, where we're going to start out, it's going to be a sermon for the children. You have a lot of children here this morning, and that's a wonderful thing. And we want to start with a little Bible story, one that I trust that the children can enjoy. And then as adults, I want to spin off and look at a few practical points for us as adults. I simply have the title of Everyday Life with Jesus. And you know, it's not a jubilant, it's not a life of just victory every day, and it's not a life where we're just singing, praise the Lord, you're risen, but everyday life is there's times when we're down. There's times when we really don't know what's happening. And I want to look at a Bible story that people were, they didn't, there was an entire group of people that didn't know what was happening. And Jesus was there. I want to look at a miracle that Jesus did that is recorded in all of the Gospels. I believe it's the only account, a miracle of Jesus that was recorded in all of the Gospels. Does anybody know what that is? Would anyone like to venture a guess? A little bit of Bible trivia here this morning. The only miracle that Jesus did that is recorded in all of the Gospels. For the last. It was. I brought my lunch with me this morning. The feeding of the 5,000. And you know the story, children, how a little boy brought his lunch along to listen to Jesus. You know, there's just so many things we don't understand about that story. It's an intriguing story. And turn with me to Mark. It's you can find the account in any one of the gospel. You could go to Matthew 14. I would like to start reading it. Mark chapter 6. We could also go to Luke 9 or John 6. But we will start reading at Mark chapter 6, verse 30. It says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all the things, both what they had done and what they had taught." And I'd just like to stop a little bit. And the disciples were having a bad day. Things were not going right for the disciples. You know, what better place than to gather yourself unto Jesus when things aren't going right? And there's a certain aspect that that's what we're doing this morning. We're gathering together. And you know, I just felt my spirits being lifted this morning as we sang and as we praised the Lord. And the cares of this past week just kind of faded away. And we focused on Jesus. And that's what the disciples were doing. Their good friend, John the Baptist, had just been killed. They were not expecting it. He was in prison. You know the story, how they went and beheaded him. And the disciples had to try to work through that. That one of the men that they appreciated and probably were close friends with, I assume they knew John the Baptist, he was gone. He was no longer here. And death rattles every one of us. When we have a passing of a friend, we're just never ready for that phone call that says they're gone. And you just sit there and you don't know what to do. You can remember the very place where you received that phone call that says they're gone. I don't know how many of you have experienced losing, I know you have, losing a close friend, family member. They're gone. The apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all the things what they had done. The disciples Jesus had just sent them out. And earlier in the chapter, we're still at Mark 6, verse 7, he called unto them the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two, gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. And so they went out. They didn't have a lunch because that's what Jesus said. Don't take a lunch. Trust me. Now, how much sense does that make? That Jesus was sending his disciples out and says, go out, be a witness for me, leave your money at home, leave your provisions at home, and trust me. I wonder how it worked out for them. They were human, and they had experiences. They went out and began to witness, and they had people that got mad at them and really left them have it. And then there was people that didn't care, and they would talk about Jesus because mankind is the same then as it is today. And then we have the story of losing John the Baptist. They gathered themselves unto Jesus, and they talked about everything that happened in their life. And Jesus looked at them and said, you really are stressed out. You really have your plate full. You really have about all you can handle. Verse 31, he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going that they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages to buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He said unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves up and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Let's look at the account in John 6. It's a very similar account. But each account drops some details that were left out. Each count gives a little different details. John chapter 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over into the Sea of Galilee, which is in the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. He said unto them, Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number of about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to his disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above all that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that the prophet should come into the world. It's a story that all of us like to read. The feeding of the 5,000. How many people actually did get, how many people, children, how many people were fed that day? How many people were fed that day? Does anybody want to volunteer a guess? What's the scriptures tell us? Nobody likes to talk, do they? It says it was 5,000 men plus women and plus children. How many here have seen 5,000 men? I know, Joe, you have. Anyone else? 5,000 men is a lot of men. There's only 70 people here this morning, 71. Can you imagine if there were 100 people here? There's not. But let's just say there was 100 people here at Keysville. And we took Keysville, and it said he sat them down by groups of 100. So if there was 100 people here, it would take 50 groups to equal 5,000 men. 50 Keysville churches, if there's 100 here. That's a lot of people. Imagine you're sitting here, the next group is sitting out there, and the next group is sitting beside them. We're only at 300 people, and 5,000 people is a lot of people, plus women and children. Was it safe to assume there was 8,000 people there? Is it safe to assume there was 10,000 people there? We just knew there was a lot of people that came out to see Jesus. Just tremendous to think about what was happening right now. And Jesus looks out among all those people, all 5,000 men, and every one of them had a need in their life. And Jesus looked at them and he knew their needs. And it says that Jesus went around among the people, healing them. I'm going to guess there was a man that had a broken leg and he got limping up there. And said Jesus looked at him and had compassion. It didn't say he had a broken leg. It said Jesus had compassion on the needs of the people, and he healed them. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? I mean, I don't know what need you're facing in life, but Jesus was there healing the needs of the people. What a powerful testimony of who this man is. Powerful. Jesus would just look at you and say, be healed. I don't know what he did. Maybe he touched them. If you spent 1 minute with one person, how many people do you think Jesus could get to? There was a lot of people there. There were people that were finding victory, and there were people there that, well, maybe they were too proud to come forward, and maybe they had needs in their life, but they didn't want anyone to know it. And the great healer was there. Jesus would have healed, but they were too proud to say, I need help. But in that group of people, there was a little boy that had a lunch. And I don't want to spend too much time on this story because we need to make it practical for today. But there was a little boy that had how many loaves? Back here. 5. They had 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. And I decided late last night that I should have an object lesson. And I went to town, and it was too late. And so I brought a little loaf along. Because in our mind, children, we think of a loaf of bread as these big old loaves. But that's not what this little boy had in his lunch. I think he had a small barley loaf. It's what it says, a barley loaf. which would have been very probably dark in nature. I think it looked something like this loaf here. I think he had 5 barley loaves. This isn't barley. This is probably a wheat loaf of bread. I really think it was something about this size. He had an, I don't know how many of you boys would like to eat 5 of these pieces of hunks of bread. I don't know if you would get filled on 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Now, they were familiar with fish. We're not. We live in America. We're not used to eating fish. But back then, they lived in the fishing community. And so they were very familiar with dried fish. They were right there among the water. And so they would dry their fish. And I'm assuming maybe he had a fish, maybe this size. I don't know. It probably looked like a fish. It might have still had some scales on the thing. I'm thinking it was dried. Maybe it was pickled. But it was a preserved piece of fish. And he had 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. And I'm guessing he probably got it inside of a bag, probably about this big. I'm using a lot of imagination, I realize. But we could put 5 of these pieces of loaves in here. And they found this young boy. Now, why? Why was there only one person that had some food? And maybe other people had food, but Jesus picked out this young boy to make an illustration. Children, there's times in our life where we don't have much. And we think, what little bit do I have? Maybe we should have called this sermon title, The Little That I Have. Because you know us as adults, we really don't feel like we have much either. Probably most of us feel like we've just got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And we look at what we have and what Jesus needs, and it's just like there's just no way. God can't use the little that I have. God don't even want it. But Jesus did want it. And that little boy gave his lunch. Maybe he was 12 years old. Maybe he was 14. But he took his lunch and he let go of it that Jesus could use it. You know, this story, there's a lot of details in here that pique my interest in how it happened. Because, Brother Curtis, it takes a lot of work to feed people. Have you been deacon long enough to figure that out? If you're going to have a crowd of people, it takes a lot of planning and a lot of work to make it happen. But Jesus just did it. Just, you know what? I had to look at conference this past week. We were there. And those people really didn't know how many people were coming. And the Cornerstone congregation treated us excellent. They fed us, I think, 3 different meals. Every one of them was a lot of care and a lot of attention was given to details. They fed us very, very well. But there was a lot of planning to make sure there was enough of food for everyone. But here we have a story that Jesus took 5 little barley loaves and he fed thousands of people. It's just a tremendous miracle. And I want to look at some of the details now of this story and how it applies to our life. As we've read through this account, maybe we should ask the question, what's the story about? Who's the main subject? You have the crowd. You have the 8,000 people, the 10,000 people, the men, the women, the children that were there. Is the story about them? Maybe it's about the little lad that had a lunch. Is the story about him? Is the story about the 5 loaves and the 2 small fishes? Is the story about the disciples? Because the disciples, we started out by talking about how disgruntled and how frustrated they were with the frustrations of life. And they were having another bad day. They wanted to go on vacation. And they thought they were going to get out and just be away and things were going to, and it didn't work out. Life does that to us. We have a vision of what we think life is going to do, and it doesn't work out. Is the story about the disciples? Is the story about the miracle? Or is the story about Jesus? Well, this morning, it's all those aspects put together. But if Jesus wasn't here, we wouldn't have a story. It's Jesus. It's the one that's risen. It's the one that makes all the difference in our life. It's the one that you can go to town and tell your friends and your neighbors and the people that you come in contact. Jesus is risen, and there's a power in our life. And he can work with us the same as he did in this story. Just this past week, I met an old man that he was telling me how bad his health is. And his health is deteriorating. It's a garage guy that's working on a pickup. And I told him, I said, I'll pray about it. And he kind of stopped. And I said, I believe in the power of prayer. Do you? Do you believe that somebody, that God is greater than anything else in life? Of course you do. I believe in the power of prayer. This man, I don't believe, was a believer. And he said, oh, I have faith too. He said, but you know, he said, we think about God when things go bad. But when things go good, we don't need him. That's a problem. Too many times we aren't trusting God like we should. We trust God in the good times, so in the bad times, it's the first place we go to. Do you have utmost faith in God that he can just take your 5 barley loaves, whatever you've got in life, and he can multiply them and multiply them? I was talking to a brother in our congregation. You all know him. Just 2 weeks ago, it was Sunday morning. And he was telling me about a health condition that his wife had. And he said, you know, he was talking about everything that could go wrong. And the unsettled feeling of facing life, not knowing. And I said, brother, what are you going to do? What are you going to do if your wife's health deteriorates and you've got minutes to get her to the hospital? And he looked at me and smiled, and he said, we're trusting God. And I just took a deep breath and looked at him and said, wow. Living with the uncertainty of not knowing what's going to happen to your life or to your wife, to your wife's health, is pretty unsettling. 2 days later, I got the phone call. His wife is in an emergency situation. We're talking about the power of, well, we're talking about, as humans, we can't do nothing. All we can do is pray. We're talking about having faith in God. And the power of prayer in that young lady's life, you know the story. And God worked in a miraculous way. And I believe healed her, continued to give her life because of the power of saints praying and reaching out to Jesus. We still have that same power today. The first point that I would like to look at is just number one, that Jesus cares about the details of my life. We looked at that verse in Mark 6, verse 30. It says, they came to Jesus, and Jesus listened to them. And Jesus understood the cares. Jesus understood their frustrations. Jesus knew they were stressed out, and he said, you need to get away. He understood. He understood what they were going through. And as we face life today, Jesus still knows. He still cares about what you're facing in life. It could be the simple need of not having food. We live in America, and we don't even think about praying for food, do we? Because we have plenty. But there is countries around the world, people don't have food. And they're just crying out and saying, Lord, I need food. Jesus cares about the details of my life. And the disciples, as I said, were working through the death of one of their close friends. And maybe they were worried about, maybe Herod is going to come for us next. He killed one of our number and we're next. And maybe that's why Jesus said, let's just leave. Let's just get out of this town. Let's just head over to the next county. Let's get out of Herod's jurisdiction. Some of my studies suggested that. But we know that Jesus just wanted a little special time with his disciples. And when we're stressed out with life, we just need some special time with Jesus, don't we? All through scriptures, Jesus always cared about what people were going through. You think about when they ran out of wine at the wedding, Canaan. And Jesus, it was his first miracle. How that he cared about what people were facing. And he did something about it. And so many times in my life, I don't care what people are going through. Because I'm busy, I'm tired, I'm stressed out. I'm just like, just go live your life, just let me alone. I want to live. Not Jesus. He takes time for the cares of what people are facing. You think about the death of Lazarus in John 11. Jesus cared. And Jesus even had an emotional side. It says he wept. When he saw what the people were going through, he saw the grief and he left his emotions and he wept with them. He cared. He cared at the loss of a loved one. He took time to heal the sick, the lame, and the palsied. And he even cared about people not having enough to eat. And he did something about it. 1 Peter 5:7 is casting all your cares upon him because he cares about us. Jesus still cares today what you're going through. And see, when you're in the middle of it, it's so hard to see that. When you're the resurrection story, could Mary see what was happening? She couldn't. She was blinded with her tears, and again, Jesus cared. And he was right there to comfort her, and he was like, Mary, oh, the care of Jesus. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song, as the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Do you know that Jesus cares about your life? And I know you do. But there's times in our life when we struggle with that. Can we just sing that verse of song? Does Jesus care? Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. Oh yes, he cares, I know he cares, his heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Thank you. Such a special song. Every one of us can claim that Jesus cares. Point number two is Jesus, number one was Jesus cares. Number two is Jesus wants us to seek him out. There was a whole group of people that wanted to seek out Jesus. And every one of them had a different reason for seeking out Jesus. But Jesus wants us to. Jesus wants us to come seek him out. There were people that had physical needs. There were people that had health needs. There were people that had all kinds of needs. Disciples had needs. And Jesus had time for them. He wants us to seek him out. I'm sure there were people that were seeking out Jesus because of curiosity. But Jesus is still there wanting us to seek him out. Number three is Jesus knows exactly what we need. And so many of these points maybe are the same. But Jesus knows what we need. He knew that the need of the people that were there today, they needed back then, they needed bread. They needed bread. They needed food. Jesus knows what we need. And I can't imagine what that looked like for Jesus to have his five barley loaves. And he looked at the 8,000 people, the 10,000 people that were there, and he held five little barley loaves. And the disciples said, what's that going to do? What's that going to do for all the needs? And Jesus just smiles. Because it said he knew what he was going to do. I think Jesus is smiling today because he knows what he's going to do. And it's really a test of faith. He wants us to come to him with our needs. He wants to see if you have enough of faith. I mean, Philip said, 200, I forget the name, 200 pennies a day. It ain't pennies, but that's about a half a year's worth of wage. A penny a day was what a man earned. A half a year's wage isn't enough to go out here and buy food for all these people. Now, you know, as men, that's the first thing we start doing. Is the money going to go around? How much money is it going to take to get us out of this problem? And Jesus has these five loaves and two small fishes. And he's looking at his disciples and says, do you have enough of faith to believe that I can work in your life? It just takes a lot of faith. And then Jesus looks at his disciples and says, tell the men to sit down. We don't even have the food yet, Lord. Where is all this food coming from? And Jesus holding these five barley loaves, and he's saying, tell them to sit down. And children, he just starts to tear off hunks of bread. I guess he tore off hunks of bread, and maybe had a piece of fish inside. And he begins to hand it out. And he'd tear off another hunk. And they all began to eat. And they all began to eat. And he just kept reaching for another loaf. And he would eat that one. And 5,000 people ate that day. 5,000 men ate and were filled. How do you explain that? It's only Jesus. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can work in our life that way. Jesus knows exactly what we need. The next point that I have is Jesus will never turn anyone away. There was lots of people that were there, and if you were there that day, you were filled. It didn't even say you didn't even just get a bite. It was more than just a bite of bread. You got enough that you were filled. More than one bite. Maybe you got several loaves of bread. And it doesn't say Jesus passed out loaves. It says he broke the bread. Next point that I have is Jesus wants to stretch my faith. I have numerous points here and I need to get over them. He wants to stretch our faith. He wants to have enough of faith. He's like, Philip, do you think that we can feed all these people? Now, what would be your response? Glendon, if you were there and Jesus looking at you and say, Glendon, can we do it? You're a practical man. These were practical disciples. And we began, as I said, to figure it out. Can we do it? Why didn't Philip say, Lord, I watched you heal people. I watched you bring people to life. I watched you work through your life. Lord, I have enough of faith to know you've got something going behind the scenes. I don't understand it, but Lord, if you say we can, we can. But is my faith that strong? We have the entire scriptures. We have everything that the Lord has done. Do I have enough of faith to say, Lord, I don't see my way out of this one, but you can. I'm just gonna have enough of faith. I'm going to trust you, Lord. It doesn't make sense. We don't got enough of money in this congregation to go out and even buy them all a cheeseburger. But Lord, I know you can do it. And he did. He did. Jesus wants to stretch our faith. Another point that I notice in this account is that Jesus wants us to serve others. And this is what Jesus wants you to do. And me. He wants us to use our time. The disciples were to go out and to serve other people. The disciples were tired. They were on vacation. They did not have time for this. This was not in their schedule. And Jesus said, make them sit down. Try to take 5,000 men and get them to listen and to get them to sit down in groups of 100. It's almost impossible. And yet the disciples, there was only 12 of them, had to go out and get 5,000 men to sit down. approximately 830 men per disciple that they had to try to figure out how to get them to sit down. It takes a lot of work. But Jesus wants us to serve other people. Jesus didn't do it himself. He worked through the disciples. He worked through you. As you go forth, I mean, there's times we say, Lord, you got to do this for us. But the Lord wants to work in your life. Through your testimony. Through your actions of love. As you see humanity. As you see the needs around you. Do you have enough of time to show people Christ's love? Jesus calls us to action without us seeing results. We already talked about that. Jesus said, tell them to sit down. And there was no food. And Jesus does that time and time again throughout the scriptures, where he would command his people to act in faith without seeing results. It didn't make sense. We don't have any food. Why are we setting them down? How are we going to do this? Lord, we don't even got any money. But he calls us to action without us seeing any results. You know, Peter, Lord came to Peter and he said, put your net down on the other side of the boat. Peter said, Lord, I've been fishing all night. I know what I'm doing. I'm a fisherman by trade. But at thou bidding, I'll do it. And he took his net and he threw it on the other side of the boat. You know the story. Tremendous victory because he obeyed. Tremendous story. Think about Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel was standing true and standing tall and was not going to deny his Lord. And he was going to serve the Lord no matter what the cost. And he knew the results was a den of lions. And yet he went to his window and he prayed. He was not going to go back on his Lord. He was not going to give up his faith. He was going to do what he knew he needed to do. Did he know God was going to deliver him? He had strong faith. We know the story. Daniel didn't. And he was grabbed and bound and hauled over to that den of lions and thrown in. It's in your Bible. Do you think Daniel's heart was pounding? It's a real life story. But God shut the lions' mouths. Because of his obedience. Don't expect a miracle in your life until your life is one of obedience to the call of God. So many times we want to see the miracle. We want to see things happening before we respond, but God is calling us to a life of obedience. The disciples had to obey. Jesus wouldn't have worked a miracle, the 5 loaves and fishes, unless they obeyed. And because of their obedience, he was able to do a tremendous work. And many, many lives were touched. Another interesting point that I notice in these verses is that Jesus gave thanks for his food. Maybe that's just kind of a sub-point. But all 4 Gospels record this, that Jesus looked up to heaven and he thanked God for the food. He was holding his 5 loaves, his 5 barley loaves, and he thanked God. Are we thankful for the provisions that God gives to us? Are we thankful? Or are we embarrassed to be seen praying for our food and thanking God? I just thought of that this past week. I was with a group of brothers, and we met at IHOP's restaurant for a meeting. And we had breakfast together. And when our food was all caught together, the chairman called. He said, Brother so-and-so, would you lead us in a word of prayer? Now, we're sitting in IHOP's restaurant, and there's a lot of people sitting around us, and we're not by ourselves at all. And we all bowed our heads for prayer, and the brother lifted up his voice and prayed. There's a powerful testimony of just prayer and thanksgiving to God. We don't need to do it for the show, but we're not embarrassed of who our God is. Jesus thanked God for his food. I believe we should also. There's many points that we could look at. I see another point here, that Jesus does not want us to be careless with the blessings that he gives to us. You know, so many times we eat our sandwich and we you know, if some crumbs fall on the floor, so be it. Who cares? Actually, I don't even like crust. But God has given us the blessings of food. And they went around and they picked up the leftovers. And maybe those leftovers looked something like this. I don't really think that looks very appetizing. And I probably would just, you know, throw it in the trash. But it was blessings from God. And Jesus saw it as valuable. They picked up the leftovers. The scriptures clearly say they took the baskets. I don't know where they come up with their baskets. And they gathered the leftovers, and there were 12. 12 baskets of leftovers. 12 baskets of bread, barley loaves, and fish. Isn't that tremendous? God is just blessing over and above what we can even imagine. Jesus is generous with these blessings, but he wants us to be careful with our leftovers. In John 6, I don't know if you're still at John 6, but he goes on then and he says, he tells the people, I am the bread of life. Isn't that amazing? That he was giving them physical bread. He was tearing apart physical bread. And a few verses later, he's talking to the people again. And he says, I am the bread of life. I think we fail to see that connection. But Jesus came to save the world of their sin. And he says, I am the bread of life. All that eats of me will never perish, but have everlasting life. It is still true today that all that eat the bread of life of Jesus Christ can have everlasting, eternal life. My last point is this. There were 5,000 men that saw a miracle in front of their eyes. They saw it. Women and children saw a miracle. What did it do for them? You have seen God work tremendously in the lives of your friends, maybe the lives of your family, maybe your personal life. You've seen God work. What has it done for you? There were people that walked away from that event, their bellies full, with something to talk about. They went to the friends and their family and they said, Did you see the miracle? Did you see how Jesus just took that bread? And it was tremendous being there. You should have been there. Well, you probably should have been. But what did it do for them? Did it change their life? And does Jesus change your life? We can see the miracle of the 5 loaves and fishes, but if we don't allow it to change our life, it does us no good. Only those that saw Jesus as the living bread, those that allowed Jesus to cleanse their life, did it make a difference in their life. How is it with you? Let's kneel for a word of prayer.